Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Reverend Arlene Cahet, and I am your host of Healing Paradigms Presents. And for this, for these next few shows that I'm going to have for the rest of the year, and understand that I only come on the fifth Thursday, so there's only two more. There's going to be one in October and one in the month of December. But for the rest of this year, I'm going to be putting on a series called The Next Level of Spirituality. Now, what I mean by that is I'm going to be introducing you to some people who have actually inspired me through the type of work that they do, and also whether or not I've had like personal interactions with them that have actually taken my spiritual level, journey to another level. Now, one of the things that I'm going to talk about tonight, before we introduce my guests, is dating when you're on the spiritual walk, and some of the things that you can ask in order to kind of gauge and discern whether or not this person would be somebody that is suitable for you. So I'm going to give you a list of ideas and some things, questions to ask in order to give yourself more clarity. Now, when you are dating, When dating, one of the most difficult things to do is actually meeting someone. And it can be a bit challenging, especially when you know that you are following doctrines that don't necessarily correlate with any of the things that you know that the established idea or the established path that the majority of people have. Now, one of the things that you should do is I suggest that a person actually start the process of doing what I would say a spiritual union. When I use the term a spiritual union or a sacred union, I'm talking about taking some time out in the morning and in the morning and in the evening, looking into your partner's eyes and affirming your partnership, and in fact, praying for your partner's well-being, and acknowledging that the divine is within them. And that you, with you and your partner coming together, you are expressing through both you as a couple, yourselves as the divine. You are operating as a unit. Now, this is something that is more ideal, and it's one of the things that you can go ahead and you can ask the person that you are considering dating, especially if you're single, how do they feel about actually taking the time out in the morning and in the evening and actually praying for, the relationship, praying for your spiritual walk together. Now, one of the other things that I actually recommend is that you show up as yourself. And I'm especially talking to those people that I consider people pleasers. You want to show up as yourself. You don't want to spend your time bending over backwards to please the person that you're with. And the reason that I'm suggesting this is that if you get into a relationship with the person that you've turned yourself into a pretzel to be with, you'll either have to keep up the facade, or the person that you're with will feel like that you tricked them. Now, one of the other things that I would recommend, and understand that these are recommendations, I'm not suggesting that, these are hard and fast rules, but one of the things that I do suggest is holding off on physical intimacy until you have a deeper understanding of that person and that individual. Also, of course, there is the basic things of, being concerned about STDs, but also there are some spiritual implications to developing a physical intimacy with an individual. The number three on my list is if your spiritual path is important to you, you need to speak up about it very early on in the getting to know you phase. The reason for this is that if they go running for the hills, then they weren't for you in the first place. And never mind how much you were attracted to them, they were not for you if they are so quick to run for the hills after you mention something like this. Now, some of the questions that you are going to want to ask are, well, what are your spiritual goals and aspirations? What are they? And I also recommend that you ask these questions of yourself, because here's the thing, the majority of the people in this world, they don't actually take these things under consideration. Another question to ask is, what do you feel your spiritual purpose is? A lot of people who are walking their spiritual path, their spiritual walk, actually feel like they are on the path, that there is something that they're here to do. Like for instance, myself, I know that for the most part, I'm a healer, but in addition to being a healer, I'm also a messenger. And at some other time or some other show, I will go into more explanation about that. So, one of the other questions that you would ask is, how do you incorporate the source of creation into your life, or how do you incorporate God into your life? This is just to gauge, where they are, what it is that they do, what is their particular spiritual practice, so that you can gain some insight. Now, also, the next question that I would ask is, if they had the chance to change the world, how would, what would that, what would that look like? What would they do? What would they like to see change? And then also, and also imagine, ask them, what does their ideal world look like? Now, understand that when you begin to ask these questions, understand you're going to be stirring some waters. And the people that you're dating are probably going to look at you a little bit strange because these questions are untypical. In addition to the fact, the spiritual path isn't something that's really common in this world. Now, understand, I do know that people are actually awakening, but understand that each person is at a different level. So they're moving out of their particular paradigm into something else, and with some people, you have to move a little bit slower. Now, one of the things, and the reason why I'm saying this is that, in a culture, one of the ways to actually find out where people value their value systems are is to actually take a look at the biggest buildings that they have. And especially here over in the Western world, the biggest buildings that we have are banks and business buildings, and this is what it tends to be valued over here. Now, the world would have you believe that that you are supposed to be giving your spiritual gifts for free. But understand that that was not always the case. In ancient times, to sit at the foot of a spiritual teacher, it was expected that the master teacher would be compensated in order to teach you. Now, understand that spiritual knowledge is the most important knowledge that an individual can acquire. Spiritual knowledge and spiritual application builds the soul and aids in a person's transformation. And I'm not going to digress too much, and I'm going to leave that particular talk for another day. Now, when you ask the questions that I've suggested, make sure that you have your own answers, and much of what's been mentioned here will give you a better way to gauge your potential mate's journey and whether or not they are suitable for walking on the similar path that you are. Now, if there's anyone out there that actually puts what I suggest to the test, please feel free to contact me through my website. That's www.healingparadigms.com. That's HEALINGPARADIGMS.com. Or you can friend me on Facebook. My name is Arlene Cahet. That's Kahet. Or you can text or call me at area code 240-343-2590. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and when we get back, I'm going to introduce my special guest, Bakhtu Wilson. So hold on.
Welcome to the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and your soul. Every Monday, it is Totally Whole with Pastors Bridget and Pastor Cook. Every Tuesday, it is the Old School Mix with the world-famous DJ Davey D playing the hottest old school R&B, hip-hop, and reggae mixes around. Every Thursday, there's something new just for you. The first Thursday of the month opens with Total Empowerment with Angela Hardy of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa. The second Thursday of the month is Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey talking about relationships. Get your relationship questions answered with One Love, One Connection, One Us. The third Thursday of the month is Reverend Jamel Gilliam with the Man Show. It's time to man up with the brother himself, Reverend Jamel, on the Sacred Masculine. Every fourth Thursday of the month, it is the Inner Consciousness with Reverend Harvey L. Bailey. It is the self-help show. And just for you, we have a special on the fifth Thursdays of the month. We have Arlene Cahette coming back with Healing Paradigms, and she's going to offer you all the healing that you need. On Sundays, we have Updraft with the delightful Deletta Gillespie. You won't want to miss an hour or a minute or a day on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul.
Okay, welcome back, and it is my honor and pleasure to bring on my next guest, S. Bhaktu Wilson. Now, I found out that he is like from my state, from one of my close friends. I found out that he was from my home state, and he is also, oh, one moment, please. Somebody's calling. Okay. He is from my home state, and he has written a book called The Healing Source, a promotional health guide for African Americans for the survival of the 21st century. And it was published back in, I believe it was 1993. He has also been an advocate of green energy, and where he was a brand ambassador for Solar City, and he has spent much of his life educating people about health and wellness. And tonight, we will talk about what a person eats and how it aids in their spiritual growth, and how it also affects our health. So I'm pleased to present Bhaktu Wilson. Yeah. Bhaktu, are you with me?
Yes, good evening. I say peace be upon you and your listening audience.
thank you. So, well, you know, let me just begin. Why don't you just go ahead and tell us a little about yourself, or tell my listening audience about yourself?
Well, I originally have been in the healing and health profession for, I guess, roughly about 40 years now. Primarily, I have degrees in clinical nutrition, herbology, and also spiritual nutrition, which we'll get into that a little later, given the nature of this particular program. I got into health originally because when I was in college, I was having some serious health issues as a very young man that was not able to be diagnosed from the traditional standpoints. So that led me to seek other alternatives to as to why a young man of 21, 22 years old was having basically certain type of immune issues. So from that led me into homeopathy and into holistic healing. From that, of course, I was led to many individuals that assisted me in helping me to get the appropriate information or the appropriate individuals that could assist me in actually looking at my own situation and finding a resolution for that, which has been resolved since that day 40 years ago. So from that, I decided that, maybe this stuff is not all what they were saying. At the time, I was going to school and living in Southern California. And many people were a little more open, I think, in Southern California and then other parts of the United States in general. So I had resources available to me in reference to looking at how diet, health, has a direct impact upon your health and upon your well-being. We all must realize we are more than just a physical body. We are truly that, but we are also a mind. And the most important part, you are a spirit. We are all spirits here on this earthly journey. Never forget that.
Okay. So I know that you touched on it a little bit, but what were some of the reasons, you know, some of the reasons that you decided to become vegan?
Well, that was a very long process. Remember, I had a particular disease that was not diagnosed from your traditional medical authorities at that time, and even today, unfortunately, diet and nutrition wasn't given the necessary power and the necessary interest from many medical professionals. I think they only take a few credits in nutrition when you are in medical school. So therefore, there's a big lap in the learning process with many medical practitioners. Particularly, I don't want to digress, but I was up at NIH talking to some of the so-called specialists and experts, whatever that is, in the field. And I was asking them, why isn't nutrition, even though they do have a nutritional program at NIH, but it's a limited one. It's not one that they put into all of their particular therapies. And I feel that regardless of what your particular condition is, nutrition will play a role in that. Now, for me, mine was an evolutionary process. I came from what you would consider a very traditional Southern family. We ate all the things that most people, either coming from the South or having relatives from the South, would prepare on a daily basis. Unfortunately for me, my mother was a great cook. And she cooked in excessive amounts. I can remember what we would have, let's say, for Sunday morning breakfast was like a five-course meal. And that was just the start. Lunch and dinner, yes, was to come later. Unfortunately, my mother had no idea about nutrition. She had seven kids. Let me say it again. She had seven kids. With those seven kids, she had to find a way to feed them in a cost-effective manner in what she considered in a healthy manner. Now, again, I preface that healthy because most people get little to no real education in reference to health. And they take no time unless, with me, it's forced upon you. You got a health situation that just came out of nowhere. Now you got to deal with it. Now, again, my emphasis was that I started in my program was to lighten the load on the body. Remember, I had an immune problem. Immune problems deal with, you know, very sensitive systems in the body, including your blood system. So, therefore, I had what we would consider a very critical problem to be dealt with. By that, I started to lighten the load on my body, meaning giving my body an opportunity to get back to what we call homeostasis. Homeostasis is basically just a balanced state. What happens in a balanced state? Well, this is what happens. Your body has an opportunity to assess its own particular problem. Yes, we have that ability. Unfortunately, over the eons of time, it has become less and less prominent. But for most of us, Homo sapiens is still in place and it still works. But you have to understand the keys to how to access that and to use that in your benefits. It allows the body to balance itself, get to a point where it's at a point where it's the problem that has been most exacerbated now is not so exacerbated, it's because the body now has taken a particular position of coming back into balance. Remember, we are more than just the body, and I have to keep saying that because this is very important. The body is just, I guess, the end result of a very, very detailed process. I wish the Reverend and her group of elders would come in on this, because it's a very detailed process that many people do not understand. If they understood this, believe me, we would have instantaneous healing taking place throughout the world. Throughout the world, if people just got that fundamental knowledge that the body is the end process, it's not the beginning. There's things that have gone in before they had to take. And normally, when a body has a problem, there's other things taking place. Something's happening with your spirit.
Okay, so I just for clarification, and I, you know, I know I let you run a little bit longer than I expected, but what does the NIA stand for? You know, just for those people who wouldn't know what that particular, you know.
Oh, well, yeah. this is your major health research organization for the United States, National Institutes of Health. Institutes, with an S. Because they do a variety of things with a variety of illness. But this is all funded by your government, supposed to be in your interest. That's the only reason they're there. So if NIH is not doing it, something's very wrong.
Okay. So how does what a person, and I will, the elders will chime in, and for those of you who are listening, he's calling them the elders. I call them my spiritual team. Whenever I talk with Bhaktu, he and I have some conversations that spiritually just take us down the rabbit hole. Now, just so you know, I will be giving readings tonight, but I have given him carte blanche to go down the rabbit hole if nobody is on by the time I get to that part of our show. But the question that I want to ask you is, how does what a person eat affects their spiritual path, or how does it affect them spiritually?
Well, we eat not just through tactical food that we digest. We eat through vibrational energy. We eat through spiritual frequencies. We eat through a myriad of things that normally we don't consider as food. So we have certain nutritional needs that spans the spectrum, but in most cases, unfortunately, they go unmet until what happens? We get some kind of critical illness, the big C, cancer. Okay, that is forced upon us that we have to deal with. And usually that in itself is just indicating some other deeper stuff that's going on in the body. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because remember this, the body is the end result. Stuff happens before it happens in the body. So, if you are taking in foods that bring in a very heaviness overall to your body, and most of us in the West, we focus too much on a meat-centered diet. For your listening audience that is in Asia, that is not the case. Meat is not the center of their diet. It's usually as an addendum, or it's usually added, but mostly it's vegetable matter. For your listening audience, most animals on the planet are vegetarian. Sure, you have your carnivores. Some of your carnivores are herbivores, and they are carnivores too. But primarily, most of the type animals that you humans like to eat are vegetarians, and that's for some good reasons. Because I talked about feeding yourself. You feed yourself through solar energy. How do you get the solar energy? Well, the solar energy is not just the vitamin D, as many nutritionists would say. Sure, we get that from the sun, but there are other frequencies within that. If anybody knows the color frequency of light patterns of color, there's various degrees. The same thing happens with your nutritional needs. There are various degrees. And for some people who are on the so-called fast track, When I say fast track, I mean developing and opening up to the spiritual self, it becomes more important. Why? Because foods can keep you from getting to that point. Let me say it again. Foods can stop you from attaining your spiritual value and your spiritual enrichment. Now, why do I say that? Well, food today is no longer food. What looks like food is not food. I know it looks like a chicken. Oh, I know it even clucks like a chicken. But I grew up as a kid on a farm. So I have certain intrinsic knowledge that many people don't have about how long does it take a chick to become a hen, to lay its first egg, how many eggs does it lay, et cetera, et cetera, and so on. Now, when man starts to get involved, his motivation, unfortunately, as the Reverend has said and is not appreciated, is the spiritual proponent of each and every one of us. That's never appreciated because of the type of society that we live in. She started the program telling the audience about, wow, they build monuments to themselves. And in the West, what type monuments do we build?
True.
If you can understand the nature is a materialistic nature that's removed from spirituality somewhat, because in the essence it all comes from spirit. You really need to understand that everything in our world is really from spirit. But back to my question about foods. There are certain foods that can elevate you and certain foods that can take you down. There are certain habits that you have. Many people still smoke cigarettes in America. I've traveled around the world a little bit, and the problem is worse over in Asia, a little less than Europe. But America, actually, we're doing a good job of getting cancerogenic smoke out of our environment. But because of smoke, that smoke has within it certain frequencies, and these frequencies affect those particular people that use cigarettes. The same thing, let's say, if you were addicted to particular substances in your diet. Well, let me pick the big one. I wasn't going to go here tonight, but I might as well go here. Many people, like myself, grew up on a meat-based diet. That's all we knew. That's all that we knew. Meat-based diet. We had to be forced to eat our vegetables, okay? If your mother didn't say you didn't leave the table until everything was off it, you didn't get no vegetables. And me, I was a kid that never wanted to see a vegetable, except spinach. It must have been Popeye with the spinach, I think, because that's the only vegetable I found appealing and acceptable. Only spinach. Now, it couldn't be raw now. You had to cook it. That's a whole nother problem when we cook our foods. Because for your listening audience, when you cook food, you're changing its basic nature. How are you doing that? Well, you're putting heat to it. When you heat something up, the molecules start to adjust. They start to change. Same thing goes on in your body when you ingest those food substances. Let's say, for instance, the food has been raised with artificial hormones, meaning that it never saw a mother, well, it never saw a father. It had to see a mother still, but it didn't have to be inseminated by a particular male of whatever that species that you want to consume. Let's just say a cow, beef. Now, most cows today are artificially inseminated. They grow to a maturity level in a few weeks. Now, again, remember, I've spent time on a real farm. I've seen real cows, have milked real cows. I understand their normal maturation process, and that has been cut considerably. Same things with your chickens. Chickens are produced in a mass market using many antibiotics and using many hormones, and they got so many techniques out to cut the cost.
it looks like my guest has been cut off, but I'm going to, I'm sure that he's going to be working his way to getting back here on the air. But one of the things that he was talking about was in terms of the food that you eat, that what he hadn't gotten around to was that when you consume meat, it actually has a, it is actually very dense, and it actually kind of, you know, I guess you could say, hardens the load of what your spirit. It has an effect on your light body, and it makes your body a little bit heavier. And then, in addition to that, there are certain foods that we consume that actually have what is called spiritual detritus. Now, the word detritus, it means waste or debris of any kind. So, like, say, for instance, one of the foods that contains spiritual detritus is actually pork. Now, one of the things that you have to understand is that with pork, and this is sort of coming from my spiritual team, one of the things about pork is because of the nature of that particular animal and the fact that it generally tends to eat a lot of waste, it actually begins to affect the light body. In addition to that, there are some other foods that do that. There's some, there's one vegetable that I can think of right off the bat, which is beets. Now, understand that I know that some of you are probably thinking to yourself, well, you know, beets, it's actually a vegetable. Like, how does that possibly have an effect on a, you know, have an effect on a person? But understand that historically speaking, one of the ways that beets actually became fertilized was through the excrement of human beings, and this is why it actually holds, has some spiritual detritus. Now, I see that Bhaktu is back on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him back in.
Yeah, I'm sorry, we got briefly disconnected, technical error.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I was hearing you, and you're so right about that. The body gets very very heavy. And as the body gets very heavy, the frequencies within the body starts to adjust and change because of the heaviness. People say your light body. Yeah, they mean that light. And that truly is in the essence. The lighter that you maintain your body input, let me be a little more specific here. The better that you can get energy to come into your body and to be utilized completely is really your game, because you want to fuel your body, and it's how you fuel the body. It in itself is how you're going to make changes to your spiritual self and to those frequencies, because you only get to the next spiritual development by changing and upgrading your frequencies. There are many of us that are in 3D frequency. I would probably say most of this listening audience is in a 3D reality. There are a few of us that are not. Those of us that have not have gone through certain either purification or other particular things that we do to fortify and edify ourselves, to bring our spirits more in harmony with our purpose in this life. Many of you may not know, and let me just tell you, you have more than one life. I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but from my information is that you get more than one lifetime. And I say good since we don't live too long.
Well, okay, and I know that you are kind of referencing past lives, but I want to give people an idea and understand that this is coming from like a previous download that I've received, and also from spiritual teachers that I've had in the past. I want you to imagine a large ball, and that large ball is representing your soul. And what happens with your soul is that the consciousness from your soul actually is multifaceted. So it has connections to different dimensions, different times, you know, even your current time. You are living a multi-dimensional life. You just are only recalling the fact that you are actually, you know, experiencing this particular lifetime. But I wanted to just interject that in. But Bhaktu, if you want to continue, that's fine with me.
Yeah, well, I want to continue back to your original question about me, since I know that the best. How did I get to this point in my life? And how did I see the correlation between the body and the spirit and the mind, and how they coalesce with one another? But yet I had to always say, it seems to me the spirit is the most important aspect of this particular trinity, meaning body, mind, and spirit. Now, that may be very judgmental on my behalf, but I have to be judgmental because I say, well, spirit is eternal. Spirit is everlasting. Yeah, your body's going to probably wear out eventually. And some of us still are dealing with a lot of emotional issues. You start the show off talking about dating. I'm a single man, so I have to admit I've been in that dating scenario. So I do understand that. I understand that very well, being a single individual myself. But still, you must feed yourself. Now, let me get to it. How do you feed yourself those essential nutrients and ingredients that you need to make a fundamental shift and change in your spiritual body? Remember, Bhaktu has already said that's the most important aspect of yourself. Did not say it's the only one, because if you neglect the other two, you're going to have problems. So you can't neglect any part of yourself. That was me. I had to come out at that time. I was in college in a very traditional program. How can I say it? Very traditional minded. Did not believe in any of this stuff. Didn't believe in alternative medicine. Didn't believe in spirit. Didn't believe in any of that. But you started your program and you said there are individuals that have come to do certain things. And I think one of the things that we share is the message part, the teaching part, for sure. I'm also a warrior. So the warrior part, we got to go to war today to fight for what you need in order for you to do what you need to do. When I say you, I'm talking about everybody in this particular 3D dimension that we live in. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to look at fried foods are no-no. I know it. I like French fries, too. Believe me. Used to love them. But once you put that French fry in that hot oil, you're getting a whole different scenario. Yeah, I know it tastes good. I know it tastes good. But don't let it taste so good that it will kill you. And unfortunately for so many of us, this is what's happening to us. We are killing ourselves by lack of knowledge and by accepting what the media puts out there for what we should be doing for the body, okay? So fried foods, and for you guys, oh, this is going to hurt. Barbecue, out! believe me, I come from a South Carolina family. Barbecuing and all that stuff is big time. But unfortunately, it will kill you. And not only that, it will deter your spiritual development. Okay? It will deter it. Because you're going to be creating a whole lot of cancerous organisms that your physical body is going to have to take energy away from other functions in order to address that. Your spiritual body is going to have to get into the fight in order to stop all of these unorganized cells from taking over your body, because it's a war going on. I told you I was a warrior. People only think about warriors like when we're in Afghanistan or when we're in Iraq or when we're fighting overseas. Nah, We got wars going on every day within each and every one of us, that you are going to have to be the commander-in-chief and do what you need to do to put an end to those invaders. So, food, especially with people of color, is more than just food. I happen to be African-American. So in my cultural background, food is more than just sitting down and intaking substance. It's a social event. It's a religious event. And for some of us, it's even a moral event, believe me. I have some friends like that that look at food morally, believe it or not. Okay, but of course they're paying the price for being that moral. They're very obese, but that's a whole nother story. So you're going to have to take assessment of what does your body need at this point and break away from what you've been programmed to believe, what you have been trained to believe that your body needs. Yeah, you're going to probably have to do a little research or come to somebody like myself or somebody that can do all the work for you. I know we in America and y'all like instant results. Okay, so you can get the instant results, but you're still going to have to do some work, and that's a good thing. Why is it that you're just going to get something for nothing? Again, the Reverend started off the program talking about, in ancient times, spiritual values were the most highest values that you could attain to. Oh, let me stop. There were only certain people that could dispense that knowledge. Okay, everybody has the opportunity to grow and accept it, but there was only certain people that had the opportunity to dispense that knowledge because the knowledge is of such a high frequency. And when you're dealing with knowledge at that high frequency, the accuracy has to be 100%. Didn't say 80, didn't say 90. I said 100%. But us being human beings, oh, we're not perfect. So we don't step it. It doesn't matter if the Reverend gives you 100% accurate information or Dr. Bach, too, gives you 100% accurate information. If you are unwilling to, number one, humble yourself, and we're not a humbling world, so to speak, so people don't like to humble themselves. They look at humbling as doing something bad or downgraded, and that's not the truth. It's probably the most greatest thing you can do on this planet. Not humble yourself to anybody else, but to yourself. You don't humble yourself to Bach, too. I don't need it. You don't humble yourself to the Reverend. She doesn't need it. Okay? Humbling is for you to open up the frequencies so that when the information is transmitted, you can act on it. You can do something on it because you have accepted it. You can make some changes. Back to me. I had to totally change my diet from an exceedingly meat-centered, egg-centered, dairy-centered. I mean, you know, what they told me I needed as a kid, basically, I was swallowing. Had to totally kick all of that out. Not only for me to resolve my health issues, but for me to see certain things that I didn't see before. Because once you get into a particular point, your body opens up to the universe, and you start to see the universe in ways that you just did not know exist because you don't have all that stuff going on in your body, disturbing, and not only that, keeping you from accessing that particular portal that would take you to that point. This is when diets become very important. Now, if you was in India, we'd be talking a whole different story. Why? Because their culture inculcates all that I'm saying to you now. They already put all of that into it. That's why most of the folks in India, not all, are vegetarian. Okay?
Okay. Well, we are going to take a quick break, and when we get back, if you are interested in asking any questions of my guests, or even we're going to start the process of actually doing intuitive readings, please put up your hand by pressing the number 1, and I will get to you as quickly as I can.
Join us here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul. Every Sunday, we start your week off right with the delightful Deletta Gillespie and Updraft. It is always an educational and informational show. Tune in on Mondays for Totally Whole with Pastor Bridget and Pastor Cook as they give you the word. Tune in on Tuesday with world-famous DJ Davey D as he plays all of your old-school favorites in R&B, hip-hop, jazz, house, and rap. Join us every Thursday where there's something different. The first Thursday of the month, ladies, is for you. Total Empowerment with the owner of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, Angela Hardy. On the second Thursday of the month, join relationship coaches Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey on One Love, One Connection, One Us as they answer all of your relationship questions. On the third Thursday of the month, men, it's time to man up with our own Sacred Masculine, Reverend Jamel Gilliam and the Sacred Masculine Show. On the fourth Thursday of the month, join me, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, and the Inner Consciousness as I talk about self-help. When we have a fifth Thursday of the month, you can join Reverend Arlene Cahet with the Healing Paradigms right here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul every week.
And welcome back. And we do have a person who wants to be reached out to. One moment. Welcome to Healing Paradigms. My name is Reverend Arlene. How are you doing tonight? Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Are you? Yes. Hello, how you doing?
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm fine. Tell us your name. Give us your first name and tell us where you're calling from.
Arlene from Baltimore.
Okay, another Arlene. Hi, Arlene.
Arlene.
Okay, so do you have a question for me, my guest?
Actually, you. I have a question for you.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I actually wanted a reading. Or
okay.
I know what the issue is, but I don't know how to deal with it.
Okay.
I have an issue in my neck. It's been ongoing for a while. My throat area. I believe it's some energy that I need to release, which I felt that I've done. I felt that I've done my forgiveness, but it's still there. So, you know, I kind of want help understanding what else is there for me to do.
One moment. Okay. So I'm being told that there is a little bit more, and this is a breathing exercise that's actually being recommended for you. When you breathe in, you know, breathe into the area that's having the discomfort and pain, and ask for what is going on there to reveal itself to you. And as you continue, and actually you breathe into the area and then you exhale and say, you know, I'm open to open to the answer. You breathe in what is looking to be revealed, and then as you exhale, I'm open to the answer. And I'm getting that once you start that actual process, that you're going to, you know, it's going to awaken and open up, and it's sort of, you know, be revealed to you what it is. They're not giving me the indication of what it is, just so you know. Apparently, it's something that they're wanting you to actually figure out on your own. But that is a particular technique that's being, you know, indicated that you need to do in order for it to be revealed. Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Okay. All righty. Okay, so if there is anybody else on the line that's interested in actually having a reading or actually speaking to my guest, please feel free to press the number 1. And Arlene, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, well, you know, Bhaktu, there isn't anybody else who is actually, you know, who has actually raised their hand. But like I said before, I have given him carte blanche to ask my people any question that he's looking to ask. And one of the things that I will kind of let you know is that many times when I've actually talked to Bhaktu, he and I truly go deep down into the rabbit hole. So, hold on one moment. There is another person that has raised up their, you know, indicated that they're ready to come on the line. Hello, welcome to Healing Paradigms. Can you introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from?
I am Gary, and I'm calling also from Baltimore.
Hi, Gary. How you doing?
I am well, and yourself?
I'm doing excellent. So do you have a question for me or my guest?
Well, actually, I have a question for both.
Okay.
I would like to ask Dr. Bhaktu, with regard to being vegan. I am not there, certainly. I'm not even fully vegetarian. However, one of the things that comes up often in the discussions with, you know, to be or not to be, is certain nutrients that would be missing from a vegan diet, you know, specifically like the vitamin B12s and other things of that nature. What is your remedy, or is it actually a concern from your standpoint?
Is it George?
Gary.
Gary, I'm sorry. Gary, you have such a radio voice, man. I don't think anybody told you, but you could probably get your own radio show with that voice, brother.
So thank you.
That's something you might need to look at. Now, let me get to your question. Poppycock is my answer. The so-called authorities have not put out the real relevant information as to nutritional needs of this human body. Now, I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you a few examples because I've gotten this for over 40 years, the same questions, okay? How does a horse get those nutrients? I said a horse. You know horses sleep standing or. You know horses are considered the paradigm of health. Why? Because they never get sick. But I'm going to go one better. What about an elephant? Elephant don't take no supplements, you know. They only get their nutrition from what they eat, and they are herbivores and pretty much vegetarian as such. But they don't get those nutrients that your authorities say that we need. Now, there's some real problems with the way these things are assessed. I can remember early on in my career when I first started out and was in school for primary nutrition, there was so much misinformation. I started this program by saying your medical doctors don't get the type of education they need in nutrition. and they need to integrate nutrition in all of their particular therapy modalities, because it has a fundamental part that they refuse to see. They rather just give you a vitamin, or they rather just give you some medicine or some other quote-unquote nutrients. But my point is, the gorilla, another huge mammal, gets none of those nutrients. It's a gorilla now. It gets none of those. If you tried to give it to the gorilla, you better concede it, because he's going to throw it away, because he knows it's not what he needs. He knows that it's toxic for his body, so he doesn't need that. Unfortunately, people are not getting real information, because we don't have conscious individuals, primarily in the research end, doing the primary information. You can find some online, but you're going to have to look hard, that tells you that you only need trace of all of those minerals that they need. The so-called protein myth is a lie. You don't need all of that protein, or else these animals would not be able to get the height and weight and growth that they do in a lifetime. And I can go on and on. But, brother, let me say this to you. The thing is, vary your diet. Vary it. That's what I find is the most crucial point is. You're going to get little trace elements from a lot of substances, because our food is so denatured now, and the soil is so denatured now, a lot of the essential nutrients people are no longer receiving. So it's imperative upon you to vary your diet, include the seaweeds, include all of the sea vegetations within your diet, include many of green leafies. You can't go wrong with any of the green leafies. Most people would recommend you juice those. I'm always into, well, let's start by chewing them, eating them, and masticating it in your mouth before we go to a juicing, which is a little more concentrated. I want your body to adjust. You don't need all those things people have been telling you that you need, brother. What you need is sound, good information.
Okay. And what now? Okay, did that answer your question, Gary? Gary, are you still with me?
Whoops, sorry. Okay. My face said, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, I apologize. My face had hit the mute button. Anyway,
okay.
So
okay.
For the reading part, so I had some, instructions, I had some homework, and I was progressing through my homework with regard to my wife's situation.
Okay.
And I did not make it through 7 days before there was a major eruption. And I'm just wondering if I need to continue with that, or is the eruption my answer?
One moment. Okay, I went ahead and asked that question 3 times, and I've been told that you got your answer.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
Yes, and I'm going to say that the energy that I got from that was very, very strong. Very, very strong. It's almost as if they didn't even give me the opportunity to actually ask the question. It was so strong.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you so very
All
much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Right.
Okay. So if there is anybody else that's interested in actually talking to me or my guest, Bakhtu, please feel free to press the number 1 to let me know that you're interested in me reaching out to you. But we're going to go ahead and move on. And Bhaktu, here's the place where, wait one moment, I think that we actually have another caller. One moment. Hello, you're on the air. Well, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you? What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Tasha and I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Oh, welcome, Tasha. Do you have a guest for me or my guest?
A question that I had. I don't know if you were talking about relationships because I kind of got on the call late. A relationship that I'm in right now.
Okay.
And just some clarity because I think he wants to, I'm not sure if he wants to move it to the next level or if just circumstances are pushing him to move to the point where he wants to be, to live with me. So I'm just curious about that.
Okay, just, and this is just for clarity's sake, you want to know if he's being motivated on his own or whether or not he's being pushed, you know, encouraged by outside influences. Am I correct?
No. Due to circumstances, there's an emergency, I guess, to put it, you know, to not tell his business, but he has a situation right now and it's kind of pushing him to, be with me on a different level, but it's not necessarily, in my opinion, what he wants. Or, you know, when you move into committed relationships, you kind of like, they take steps, and it's almost like that step wasn't taken because you have an emergency and you have to go to that next step.
Okay. All right. Okay, so it has more to do with whether or not where his heart is what you're asking. Am I correct?
Yeah, so whether or not it's something that I should do.
Okay, one moment. Okay, so I've received a two-part answer, and understand that the answer that you're getting is sort of preference on what particular action that you decide to take. Okay, so here's the thing. If you let him into your space, you're going to have to go ahead and set up some ground rules. The answer that I got was, no, this isn't something that he would have done on his own. That he wouldn't, you know, at least this stage in the game, he would not have, you know, would have made the, you know, reached out to you for something like this. Mm-hmm. And I'm also picking up that once you set the ground rules, that he's not going to be in your space for a very long time. It's just like a quick place for him to stay, and then he would be, you know, be going on his own. But he would not, you know, but understand that those rules would have to be established beforehand. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
So, but what I'm getting is that his stay there would be temporary. Hold on. Let me see if I can pin them down on a time frame. Okay, they're giving me an indication that he would more than likely be out of your place within about 3 weeks.
Okay.
Mhm. Yeah. But do you, you know, so, yeah, but, you know, thank you for calling. Did you have another question that was associated with that?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Now, understand that if there's anybody else that's interested in actually having a question answered by either myself or my guest, please feel free to press the number 1. But in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead. This is like the third time that I'm doing this, Bakhtu? Where
we're trying.
But, you know, like I said, I said to him, I gave him carte blanche to take everybody down the rabbit hole. So if it gets a little strange for you, don't worry. You know, I will explain this as simply as I possibly can. So, Bakhtu, you're more than welcome to ask my spiritual team, or as you call them, the elders, any questions that you have for me.
Thank you so much. I much preference that Reverend Comet. She has access to one of the most pure lines of authentic communication I have come across. And I just want to humbly, graciously thank her and thank the group of elders for allowing me an audience. I humbly appreciate it. As she said, sometimes I can be a little out of the box with certain questions that I ask, just based upon they're not questions that are usually asked by most people, in this particular dimension. So I'm going to try to keep it very simple, and I'm going to try to keep it very focused. What I'd like to ask the elders at this time, could they help your audience understand a little bit about the nature of spirit and from which spirit comes and why it comes?
Okay, let me see if I could explain this as simply as I possibly can. So understand that when people talk about spirit, understand that you are all multifaceted or multi-dimensions of the source of creation, or what, Reverend, Kahet likes to call the source of creation. And what has happened is that there are certain beings who are responsible for bringing the spirit into, bringing spirits into the, into the spirit form, and then they come into the physical bodies here that are on the planet Earth. And as a result of this, they do have spiritual guides that actually help them guide themselves through their physical experience. Is there any particular type of clarification that you need of that particular answer?
Is there any contracts made before that particular spirit embodies a body upon the earth?
Yes. There are many of the people who are here on the physical plane, they are experiencing what we would call, they're stuck. And as a reason, as a part of their being stuck, there are beings that come into and incarnate here on this planet that are here to specifically help people through, to help them get on the spiritual path so that they can stop cycling in and out of life here on the physical plane and actually lighten up what you would call the density of their spirit body. And these spiritual teachers come in, and they've actually contracted to be here, and some of them have contracted to be here for many, many years. They have been here since, almost from the dawn of time, of existence here on this planet.
What about the illusion of death?
Exactly what is the question in reference to the concept of physical death?
Well, many people feel that we only get one life upon the earth, and that life is just limited to our current experience. Many of us, even though we live every day, we don't really give a whole lot of attention to the end process, if I could call it that, that we most use, and that's the so-called death process. Can a spirit die?
No. Although what will happen to certain beings based upon the activities that they do, based upon the type of spiritual journey or lack thereof of a journey that they take place, that takes place here on the planet, they tend to get cycled in and out, in and out, in and out, and sometimes they evolve and sometimes they de-evolve. Earlier on, it was spoken that, you know, that the most important, the most powerful knowledge that an individual can gain is spiritual knowledge. Understand that when you gain more spiritual knowledge, when you start turning to the divine within, then there is a spiritual evolution. You will no longer continue to go through the cycle of coming in and out of this earthly dimension that you find yourselves here in on this planet. You will begin to ascend up into what you would call the fourth, fifth, and sixth dimension. But understand that. But understand that you have to start, once you gain that spiritual knowledge, you have to start the process of actually applying it. And as you apply it, the density of your energy body, your light body, becomes lighter. To, in fact, sometimes light enough where you can actually transform the physical body into a light body. There have been many masters who have, you know, that were responsible for making that knowledge available. There are a few master teachers now that still do that, and those who have at some point come from the Christian tradition understand that the one that you call Jesus, or whose name at the time was Yeshua, that he himself actually, you know, there was no physical death. There, I know that it is often said in the Bible that that is the case, but actually what happened was those days that he was considered dead, physically dead, his body was transforming itself from the physical body into a light body.
So, the individual that most of us call Jesus is not Jesus. I got to bear with you. Well, Robert.
Actually,
his name is Yeshua, you say?
Yes, it's actually Yeshua. Jesus is the name that was given to him by the Romans, but the actual pronouncement of his name was Yeshua.
Okay. Yeshua is what I'm more familiar with, but I don't think many of our Christian brothers and sisters are aware of the fact that all this time you've been calling him by a name that truly was not Hebrew at that time. I have to say to my audience that if you ever studied Hebrew, there is no J in Hebrew. So the name truly could not have been Jesus. And Jesus was a Hebrew. He was in the church, and he was someone very respected at a very early age to be such. But again, I have to say, his name was not Jesus.
Okay. Do you have another question for me?
Yes, I do. You mentioned that you could really transform, and there's been people on this earth that have transformed into a light body. Now, I know the process for that is very intense. I'm not going to ask for that whole rollout of that, but I'm just curious to know, what are some of the basic things most of your listening audience can do to move them along in that direction?
Well, especially if it is something that the individual is actually seeking, one of the things that a person has to actually do is start asking the questions that would allow them to gain access to a teacher that would provide them with that knowledge. One of the things that is often encouraged is that a person actually starts meditating in order to develop a deeper connection with the source of creation, allowing themselves to get more and more in alignment with that. Also, when you are in that state of meditation, when you start asking questions that specifically pertain to actually aligning yourself with your more divine self, because you are more than a physical body. You are a spiritual body. But unfortunately, here on the third dimensional plane, people are so caught up into the distractions that are around them that it keeps them out of alignment with being connected to or being aware of their divine selves. So the questions that you should start asking, especially when you are in that place of meditation, is how is it that my divine nature seeks to express itself out in the world? What is it that my divine nature, how is it now, what is it that my divine nature would it like for me to do? What is the best way that I can pursue walking a spiritual path? These are, understand that when you begin to ask these questions, you will begin to get more and more in line with your divine self. And also, if you are actually interested in actually beginning to learn about how to transform your physical body into a light body, then you begin to ask the questions, who actually does this? Actually start doing the research that you would need to do, and you will find that your teachers will, you will be drawn to your teachers. You will find their information. And understand that there are many teachers who are out here that actually still offer this particular, that offers to teach students how to do this. But these are some of the processes that an individual can start doing in order to do that. And the reason why it is actually encouraged that a person actually starts looking for a teacher in order to do these things is because these are the way showers that will show you how to do it properly without causing actual damage to yourself in the process.
Wonderful. I have one final question, if I may. We have been going through, on planetary wide, a lot of changes within the environmentals of the Earth, earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes, on and on and on, heat waves. It seems to me, and I'm not a climatologist or climate scientist, but I am an astute observer of weather and of weather phenomena. I would like to ask the elders, if I humbly may, is there anything on the horizon that may be coming that most Americans, regardless of your status, regardless of your state, or even regardless of where you live, might be forced to deal upon in the coming months?
So you all are beginning to see the effects of these things taking place now. Down in Australia, there was actually snow there in ancient Kemet, known as Egypt. There was snow there. Also know that there are going to be some mega storms in terms of like hurricanes that are going to be taking place on the East Coast. There will be areas that will get flooded, but the water will begin to recede. There's also some indication that especially in areas of the West Coast where the fault line is going to be agitated, and there are going to be some people who are will have to relocate because of the stresses that take place there. There's going to be a definite rise in water levels in certain areas of the country, and let's see the time frame for that. Much of this stuff is going to, or many of these phenomena are going to be taking place in 2016. Just be in a place where you're prepared for that. There are also some things that are taking place within the earth where the energies that have been responsible for caring for the earth are, you know, causing a higher frequency or a higher vibration from it to cause a shift in people's spiritual structures so that they can reach a higher vibration to shake off much of the negativity that has been been a part of, you know, or that they've been force-fed in terms of the negativity that allows them to affect their emotional state. And because of this negativity that comes from the individuals, it affects the collective conscious, and much of what you're seeing now in terms of these different weather phenomena represents a larger part of what's going on in the collective consciousness. When we are not at peace, the earth is not at peace, we are all one.
I would have to agree with that.
Okay.
And I would like to thank the elders. And just as an antidote, if you are living near a lot of water, you better take note and maybe move to higher ground. I think the elders said 16th, which is almost upon us.
Yes.
So if you're living in an area with a lot of water, you may need, I'm not going to say it, I'm not going to cut it, you need to move. You just need to get out. I know that's drastic, but I had to bring it up because it seems to me, I live on the East Coast, I saw last year that we had a whole lot of weather issues, and I saw people refusing to leave, and suffering consequences. And I say that because it doesn't matter what good information I have for your body, mind, and soul. If you're not here, it doesn't matter. Okay?
Okay. I do have one person that has raised up, you know, given an indication that they want to come on the air. Just give me a moment. Hello, you're on the air. This is Reverend Arlene and Batu. Please feel free to ask where you're, or please tell us where you're calling from. And
greetings. My name is Al. I'm calling from the Carolinas. And my question is, as far as what you're speaking to and what the brother was saying earlier about the benefits, I got on the show late also, but what kind of was vibing with me is that vegetarian, vegan lifestyle, or as far as eating, nutrition, and what's going on right now. You know, I mean, they got GMOs and things like that in the food, but at the same time, would it be really beneficial to start that vegetarian lifestyle, would that benefit us with these changes that's taking place. Like, I've heard some things about the Earth going through the photon belt, and that's going to bring, usher in the fourth and the fifth dimension of consciousness. So, what do you guys have to say, or in reference to that, with, you know, nutrition and, you know, the mindset and spirituality? Thank you.
If I can address your nutrition aspect, it's paramount. In fact, you just said it. Well, we got GMOs. For those of your listening audience, and I know we're running very short on time, that's a genetic modified organism. This is how they're trying to produce most of your vegetables now, by altering them. Now, the brother asked, well, what does it make any difference? There's a big difference. Because if you have enlightenment and you have knowledge and understanding, you know to leave the GMOs alone. The elders already talked about pork. Dr. Bakhtu already talked about it. I know it's summertime, barbecue. But as soon as you start to make the move, listen, your body will move with you. The inertia will carry you to your next point. I don't think people need to move very swiftly with this. I always recommend, and in my particular practice, a gradual transition, because it gives you and the body a chance to adjust to your new realities. Now, you can get around. I do it every day. Avoid those things that are not healthy for you and that are going to cause you problems, and make good, intelligent choices. That's what you need to be. If you don't know, ask. Somebody will tell you what to do. You have many, many options available to you to make intelligent, spiritual, directive choices to move your life in a positive direction.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to go ahead and close this out. Dr. Bakhtu, thank you so much. Eddie, thank you. I appreciate you calling in. And all of my guests and all of my callers who have been on the air and shared this time with me, I so, so appreciate you. So, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a pleasure to spend time with you. Now, if you find yourself in a place where Source is calling you, just understand the call and see, just go ahead and answer the call and see what comes through. As you feel the answer well deep inside, get ready to feel the flow of a joyous ride. When you begin to feel the flow of what is calling you, just do your thing. Let no one else detract you from what you do. I'm going to do my thing, you do your thing, and I will see you soon. Love, peace, and blessings.
Yeah. means I'm all. When I dance to the beat of a drummer you don't hear, and you dance it. So if I look upbeat to you, well, the problem must be you, not me. Irregular and never error.